This is Mae Bressel, and I'm doing the second half of a broadcast about a gentleman, Karlheinz Hoffmann. In case you picked up the radio signals, the band, a little late, as a one-hour analysis of news. You can write to me at P.O. Box 22511, Carmel, 93922, and I'll send you a bibliography with information about the broadcast. Karlheinz Hoffmann is a gentleman in jail in Germany right now with Franziska Bergmann, his wife. They've been charged with killing a man in 1980, 5 years ago. But the New Times magazine has a story on his connections to fascism and fascist network. And after they had written this article, the Los Angeles Times had another article on Karlheinz Hoffmann and his links to international fascism. And as I cited earlier, he works closely with Manfred Roeder, who had direct contact with people in South America involved with Joseph Mengele and Martin Bormann and Klaus Barbie, and also up with the Aryan Nations and in Idaho, and the Order and the Silent Brotherhood, the fellows that are on trial in Seattle at the present time. This is an international network, and it connects directly to Dallas, Texas, to the American Volunteer Group, to H.L. Hunt, the John Birch Society, and Mr. Murchison, the people who killed John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. Right now, before I make those connections again with other information to share with you, I'm just citing some quotations from this article from New Times Magazine that came out in July 1985 about how these people, their goal, strategic goal, is no different than the 1920s or 30s of Adolf Hitler, and they break their work into small cells. Sturm, S-T-U-R-M-7, was one group formed near Hanau in Germany, H-A-N-A-U, a town called Rodgau Niederoden, and I'll spell that out on the sheet that accompanies this, or you can send for it. And they have stormtroopers there, similar to Frankfurt on Main, and they work with the Bonn government. They're connected and have tentacles to the Bonn government. And their other direction, besides the government in Germany and working with that, is to foster other right-wing groups and get them to form their own cells. Now, you may be reading about 20 or 100 or 200 right-wing groups in this country. I just cite a few: the Survivalists, the Aryan Nation, the Posse Comitatus, the Ku Klux Klan, the Identity Movement, the Minutemen, the National Vanguard, the National Alliance, and I gave the names and addresses of some on the air, John Birch Society and so forth. But they all have an interconnection, and they have computers that link them so that they're computerized and linked. Say, Mr. Camper, Franklin Camper in Alabama, can work with the Klan and Nazis there, and the Sikh terrorists that are killing Hindus and possibly and believed to have bombed the Air India that went down. And they can link to John Connolly of Permandex and the plans to kill heads of states and people involved with political assassinations, and then connect up to Toronto, Canada, and over to Washington State and throughout the entire United States with computers and agencies that look like they're different organizations, but all are tied together and jump from one group to the other. Now, this article says there are hundreds of Nazi movements called action fronts operating in Germany today, and they have more than 21,000 members. Now, I would say that we have hundreds in this country with at least 21,000 members, and yet we're making such a fuss over this thing that happened in the Middle East. Yes, it is bad. I agree it's bad, but it's way out of proportion to what's happening in the United States. If all of you would close your ears and your eyes to anything happening overseas and just read what is happening in the United States, you'll save your own life. But if you get consumed into the media shtick of watching every bombing over in Beirut and Lebanon and in Tunisia and so forth, back and forth, and you let them use it as a smokescreen to what's coming out from here that's connected directly to Germany and death squads in South America, you'd have a better chance of living a little longer. Now, this story about the 21,000 members says that there's a large brown zone called the National Socialists, the National Activist Action Front, and they're all organized by fascist government party. You read that where the Rajneesh asked Sheila to come back, he compared her operation to a fascist camp, a concentration camp, and cites all the potential crimes and poisonings and threats of death, and indeed death that did take place. And then the next week he says, come back, we need you, we forgive you. And that is a fascist camp, not coincidentally, but funded for that purpose. And it's similar to this group in Germany and Karl-Heinz Hoffmann. The article goes on, in 1974, Hoffmann grew not only in Germany, remember he set up his offices there in 73, and in Europe, but he tried to make connections to other countries. In 1974, he wrote Mr. Giannopoulo, an Italian Nazi, and said, I hear you are an anti-communist patriot. Now, our soldier of fortune, our gun-ho Robert Brown, Colonel, General John Singlaub, and Mr. Heine Adlerholt, Western Goals, Carl McIntyre, Edgar Eugene Bradley, all these people from the right are linked to admirals, to generals, to Edward Teller and Admiral Thomas Moore, and what we call the anti-communist mercenaries, the freedom fighters, are identical to the anti-communist patriot that Hoffmann refers to when he writes to Mr. Paulo in Germany. And then there's a letter from Hoffmann to Hamburg. I think it is necessary and useful for us, the few of us, to solve the European anti-communist problems and organize ourselves. And he's talking about that fascist group. The military sports group has members in Belgium, in Norway, in Spain. They openly celebrate Adolf Hitler's birthday every April. They're in France, and they're behind Mr. Le Pen, P-E-N, their Führer. They call him the Führer. And I believe that it was Le Pen and the intelligence agencies that set up Mitterrand with bombing that ship and leaving the clues around so that it would destabilize France. And the liberals would say, well, what difference does it matter who we vote for? Because Mitterrand blew up the ship. The Italian Nazi connections tie through Karl-Heinz Hoffmann to the great Stefano Della Calle, and he has been hiding from police. Just a few weeks ago, I cited briefly, and I want to get back to it, that he was in Miami, in the United States, in Miami, Florida, and he's directly linked to Mr. Francesco Pazienza and Michael Ledeen, our National Security Agency, our State Department, and so forth. Mr. Della Calle works with Karl-Heinz Hoffmann. He has close contacts with Hoffmann, and I'll share more of those and cite books of the relationship of Hoffmann to Della Calle. But the New Times article cites the relationship Hoffmann has not only to Della Calle, but to Joachim Fiebelkorn. Now, that's the fellow who was the military instructor in Bolivia, who wears Waffen and SS uniforms, who simultaneously wore the Drug Enforcement Agency United States agent while he worked with Claus Barbie. And right now, Fiebelkorn is in jail for drug smuggling, and he was the one who helped break the connections of Mengele and Claus Barbie, the cocaine connections. He's one of those. He works Hoffmann, Della Calle, and Fiebelkorn were involved in the organization and the perpetration of the crime in Bologna, that famous railway bombing where 80 to 85 people were killed, and the explosion at the harbor, the Harvest Fest in Munich. Now, why do they do this? They say that only by bringing terror and bombing throughout the world and in their country, Germany or in Italy particularly, then people will ask for fascism. Remember, Mussolini was elected because he'd get the trains on time. So if you could stop all that bombing, it would be fine. But Hoffmann and Fiebelkorn and Della Calle work closely with Claus Barbie and the late Otto Skorzeny and Licio Gelli, who's still on the lam, housed, I understand, by Reverend Moon and the World Anti-Communist League, and they tie in to the death squads in South America. Now, according to this article, these Hitler followers cross over the other side of the Atlantic, and they're more and more brazen about their work, and they operate officially in the United States government, several Nazi organizations, and they cite the National Socialist Party with the headquarters in Idaho, and that's Richard Butler, the scientist, the fellow who worked with the U2 program, the engineer from Burbank, who puts on a reverend collar and makes counterfeit money to destabilize the banks and to fund the Nazis and gives the Nazi swastika decoration up on his altar and the Heil Hitler arm and so forth. Then this article says the CIA maintained secret contacts with fascists and it helped plant agents and provocateurs in progressive organizations in the United States and also in other countries. Again, we're so excited about an Italian ship that was hijacked, and one passenger, a Jewish gentleman, shot in the head and thrown over, and I say that's a terrible crime. But holy mackerel, what do they think this other operation is of Karl-Heinz Hoffmann and letting Stefano Delicci in the United States after the Bologna bombing, after the links to Klaus Barbie, after his links to Otto, the late Skorzeny and Hans-Ulrich Rudel and so forth? Now, this article says Hoffmann tried to make his group unreasoning and unfeeling to mind control and become hard and strong. And that's exactly what the survivalists do in this country, or Franklin campers, training groups. And you've seen demonstrations. They teach how to cut throats and cut off ears and how to kill. And this article says Hoffmann even sent two of his own stormtroopers after suspects in his own group. And he carried out, similar to the Gestapo, they handcuffed them and they punished them for disobedience. And he taught them how to kill each other if necessary. And that was a very big part of building up the Gestapo and the stormtroopers in Germany, was to get them to be able to kill their own group if they have to. The story goes on, Hoffmann uses modern riot control methods for the police. He has tear gas, rubber truncheons. He stages attacks when anti-fascist demonstrations take place in Germany. He has rallies where he fights the communists. He raids the left-wing literature bookstores. He planned one attack at the Nuremberg airport, and he also has been active to liberate Rudolf Hess, the Nazi who is in jail, the last prisoner of World War II, who's at Spandau Prison, who's 90 years old. He uses Land Rovers, armored vehicles, motorcycles, uniforms, the Nazi uniforms, steel helmets, rifles, knives, binoculars, and his belief, in quotes, is everyone has to be trained hand-to-hand combat and knife throwing. The reason these people are so important, Bhagwan, the Rajneesh up in Oregon, and also with their groups in India and Switzerland, mostly they've been run out of India, but they'll be in Germany soon. They have big headquarters and gambling casinos and drug operations that involve Germany and Swiss banks. But the reason they're so important, the Aryan Nations, the Brotherhood, the Order, the Survivalists, is that they all directly link to General Walker, and I'll get to that, as I say, in a second, to Permandex, the people that killed John Kennedy, to the American Volunteer Group, the assassins of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King, to the goal for complete genocide. And they are warming themselves up with murders and bombings, and they're out loose. They're no different than those PLO, Mr. Habash or Mr. Nidel, and the various PLO that they scream and yell about. They're no different, and they get off of all their charges, and they're watched, and everyone knows what they're doing, and they're forming tighter networks, computerized with each other. And as I say, this Hoffmann is not a household word in America. I got a letter from a friend, long friend in Minneapolis, who takes these broadcasts and has nothing on the Aryan Nations there. And I have maybe 200 or 300 articles on the Aryan Nations that have come out just since December of last year, and maybe 200 or 300 on the Rajneesh up in Oregon. But the story goes on to say that the climate in Germany is getting ready to produce what their goal is later, to take over and alter people biologically, that there is social inequality, just as we have in this country, mass unemployment that we're not solving in this country. There's publications extolling Adolf Hitler that are conducive to resurgence. And this article says that it's a conscious policy of the ruling quarter in West Germany to let this new right group have their own wing. And this is exactly what we have here with John Singlaub and the Western Goals, Mr. Wigner, and the various characters on the board of Western Goals that link to terrorism, to Germany, to overthrowing this country, John Rees, the provocateur, and so forth. The German government sits by and watches, just as our government sits by and watches. And the author of this article said the authorities there pretend not to notice anything. It's like the LAPD and the ACLU not having a hard case. They shouldn't have settled out of court with the links of the Los Angeles Police Department to a terrorist organization like Western Goals that has linked to Mr. Habash and the PLO. They should have pursued these suits. But in Germany, they pretend not to notice, and the police are half-hearted about this. And then this article says, in May of 1974, they went to Karl-Heinz Hoffmann's camp, and they asked various people at the camp to leave, and then they seized ammunition, and they returned in August. They went there in May 74. They returned in August, and there was 4 months between the visit, and they officially charged Karl-Heinz Hoffmann for illegally wearing a uniform, a Nazi uniform, and that was all. And dozens of his group were interviewed, and there were searches, and Hoffmann appeared in public wearing his uniform, and his political views were described, and he told of his military sports group. He was fined a amount, 8,000 marks. I don't know what that is in American dollars. But the person who went to get him out, who paid the fine, was Gerhard Fry, the publisher of the National Zeitung. It's called the National Zeitung. That's that German newspaper that General Walker called. And Gerhard Fry was the gentleman he called after John Kennedy was assassinated. And I wrote about that in Rebel. And for those of you who haven't read it, I'll get to it later and go over it again with you. After the trial, Hoffmann was more active than ever. He got more members. He got people over the age of 16, and then he had no upper age limit. So older members of the Waffen-SS who were instructors during World War II could help the young ones. And among Hoffmann's men were former Bundeswehr servicemen, Adolf Hitler's people, paratroopers who gave them a chance to practice. Now, this is what we're having with our survivalists and our soldier of fortune people. They advertise their camps and training camps. And we have Vietnam veterans that are involved in mass kinds of violence. Vietnam veteran helped set up the Manson Ranch with Charles Manson. Vietnam veterans were involved with Jonestown. They're involved with the survivalists, with the gung-ho. They're training the Contras, working with Nazis from the Gestapo and the World Anti-Communist League in Central and South America. We have veterans from Vietnam and from Korea that are training mercenaries and killing, working with the Nazis, working with the Klan, such as Mr. Franklin Camper. They got their training in the American Army, and now they're teaching these other people how to take over the United States. It isn't all about South and Central America or Rhodesia. The article says that it's identical to the United States today, that admission tests are hard to get in, to get people in. They screen them very carefully, but Hoffmann's unit is a mini Gestapo, a security unit. In 1970, he had moved his headquarters to Harrodsburg, rather 1980, I'm sorry, and had a castle. This is the one that a present from his wife, Franziska Berman. We don't know where she got her money that she bought him this castle. And there he was found to have large crates, 88 crates of ammunition and arms and bazookas and hand grenades and explosives. And he had stashed them in different holes in the ground, similar to the way that military weapons are stashed in this country by groups. The Minutemen used to have them. They changed their name to the Survivalists. The warden, who was the owner of the weapons group, they found the man who was in charge of the weapons, and all of a sudden he mysteriously hanged. Then they couldn't prove the weapons belonged to Hoffmann, so the case was closed. Just like Leonard Lake took cyanide, so that Carolyn Blazas and Charles Ng literally are shut off from the world with that bunker in Calaveras County in California, which is very, very important. Now, in 1979, Hoffmann started his own magazine. See, Gerhard Fry was in charge of propaganda and worked with Mr. Naumann, who I talked about, Goebbels' heir, for after World War II. Commando was started in 1979, and the Soldier of Fortune just had their 10th anniversary. That was 1975, a Soldier of Fortune in the United States, set up by John Singlaub, who works with these people over there in our intelligence community, Connects, through the late Charles Willoughby, through General Walker, and the Texas, the Hunts, who were host to the World Anti-Communist League meeting in Dallas, and so forth. Well, Hoffmann set up his own magazine called Commando, which is identical to Soldier of Fortune, the most well-known. There's about 10 on the stands that we have in the United States, and it's very slick, glossy pictures and uniforms with the Wehrmacht hat and Mausers, and it appeals to three languages. In this country, they advertise videotapes, Waffen-SS uniforms, Nazi knives, Japanese knives, and so forth. And they write articles about war crimes against the Germans, and they have special service badges, and they have a group called the MSG Skull and Crossbones. Now, I cited earlier, and I'll do again, in connection to this, George Bush and the Bush family and the relationship to an organization called the Skull and Crossbones. And Carl Heinz Hoffman belongs to that group. And again, the author said it's hard to know where they get their money, but Der Spiegel in 1980 asked him, and he wouldn't say anything except that one of the people who funds him is Gerhard Fry, the publisher of the National Zeitung, and also he gets help from a Baron Gilbert Freiherr, F-R-E-I-H-E-R-R. Baron von Schlern, let me see if I can pronounce it right, S-O-H-L-E-R-N, Solern, uses these men for his security guard. So they are sent out as private security, just as the private security guard for the Roshanish are people that fought with Mr. Bo Gritz in Southeast Asia trying to get the missing in action out. They were picked up in Thailand. We'll do more on that when I get to the Roshanish. These are private guards here, and we have private guards, just as Thane Caesar from Lockheed was a private security guard and worked with Richard Butler, who formed the Aryan Nations up in Idaho. Then the article says, there's a circle of friends at MSG, anonymous businessmen, and money sent to their bank account in Nuremberg, Germany. Donations keep coming in, and their circle of friends include members of the Reichsführer's SS. That's the Waffen-SS. Well, when that Hitler diary was sold, it was $3.5 million that went to the Waffen-SS. So it could go into this special MSG group. You see, there's a lot of stealing money, counterfeiting money, and government money. And I'm sure the Reinhard Gehlen operation has funded through the BND and German intelligence into people like this, because our own American funds, National Security Council, National Security Agency, funds people like John Singlaub, who set up Western Goals and who started Soldier of Fortune. Just this morning's paper, Jack Anderson said that the CIA spends $1 billion a year and the National Security Agency has a budget of something like $10 billion a year and accounts to nobody. So this is an idea of where the money can go. Now, Hoffman's group has been tolerated. They haven't been persecuted in Europe. And the author says that the only people whose butt gets kicked are the anti-fascists, and they attack peace sympathizers and make them go on trial. There's staggering fines, and the West Germans fabricate cases against them, identical to the time period where the justice was perverted up to the time Hitler came into office, and then there was no justice at all. Hundreds of people are put on trial and put the Hoffman Group plans violence and terrorism, and they're not banned from doing that. And this institution is one of many, according to this author. Now, the article continues, there's evidence to prove that the Hoffman Group was planning terrorist acts as early as 1976. As I say, in 1973, he was in business, and from 1976 on, they were planning overt acts, and the Interior Minister of Germany identified it as an association that was against the constitutional order in the Federal Republic of Germany, but they had their annual meetings and no group person was arrested. So what followed was no surprise when they began their terrorism. Now, our gung-ho Aryan Nations and so forth can kill Alan Berg, a radio announcer, or kill other people, and they have a death list. It's no surprise when you go back to how it was formed with General Douglas MacArthur, with his staff and links to the John Birch Society, and to Ronald Reagan and Edwin Meese particularly, and to California violence that took place here. And now we see this terror and this violence around the world, created for specific purposes, and those who created hope to be the ones that gain. Now, the people that we use in this country believe that we lost the war in Vietnam, and now they're going to have vengeance against people for that. And in Europe, they lost World War II, and they want vengeance. So they have something in common, that they are losers, and they're going to attack and kill and go where necessary and have total victory over the black, the Jew, the socialist, the labor union, and so forth. In Munich, I cited before, in September 26, 1980, 13 people were killed, 219 wounded, and only one criminal was caught for that Oktoberfest, Gundolf Kohler, K-O-H-L-E-R, a geology student. And the chairman of the CDU was Helmut Kohl. He's now chancellor of the German Federal Republic. It's Helmut Bitburg Kohl. And in Germany, they had their loners, like we have Oswald, Lee Harvey Oswald, Sirhan, James Earl Ray, Jim Jones. They had a loner for the Oktoberfest, and Gundolf Kohler was identified. as a member of Hoffman's military sports group. And Helmut Kohl came out and said, "This is the work of a madman, a medical case of one person." We've heard that before. And Franz Josef Strauss came out at the time and said, "Everything points to the act of one man." Now, Franz Josef Strauss has been strongly linked to George Bush, the Orlando Letelier murder, Michael Townley. So they were using this disinformation to hide a group and an organization that is heavily trained for what they're doing and come out with that one man theory. So they tried to blame Gundolf Kohler and mark him as the only person involved, and then the evidence came out that it was a part of the MSG group and that it was much bigger, and Kohler took the blame for a while. And then Helmut Kohl and Franz Josef Strauss tried to protect him, but found out that Mr. Kohler was born in Wurttemberg, Germany, wealthy family. His father was vice president of the local CDU. That's the group that Helmut Kohl was the head of. And that they were using Waffen SS and so forth and trying to blame a loner. And he had fallen in with these right-wingers. He was trained similar to a John Hinckley, who was shooting at the president of the United States the same day that Manfred Roeder's links to the United States and the same parties were being exposed in Germany. And then an investigation went on to link that activity, and then later the activity of the Bologna bombing, to Karl-Heinz Hoffmann. And as I say, when they went into the home of Hoffmann and when they went for the evidence on the weapons, the person in charge of that died. And then Mr. Gundolf Kohler, similar to Lee Oswald, also died. And he was one of the people charged with, as I say, with the munitions and the killing. But then it went right back to Karl-Heinz Hoffmann. Then Hoffman links in later to the murder of a publisher, Mr. Shlomo Lewin, and I might have mentioned him before, 69-year-old publisher in Italy, who put out a magazine who compared Karl-Heinz Hoffmann to Adolf Hitler as being the new Führer. And he and his wife, Hoffman and his wife, arranged to have this gentleman murdered. And that's why they're in jail now, because they arranged the murder of this particular person, the editor and the friend that was with him, Frieda Posch, P-O-E-S-C-H-E. And they tried to cover up the tracks, and it involved a man named Mr. Berendt, who then also was died in Lebanon. He disappeared and died. And the main witnesses to Karl-Heinz Hoffmann's gun running in Turkey and in West Germany that could link to Ajah and so forth, these witnesses went off and to Lebanon. And then Hoffman flew to southern Lebanon, and where a third witness in the case had been killed, who was involved in the Oktoberfest and in the Lewin murder, and Walter Kexel. Berendt was promoted by Hoffman to be lieutenant in the MSG, his group. Then he disappeared, and they say he commits suicide. So there was another death. So that pinning violence on Karl-Heinz Hoffman, even though he's been linked to arms traffic, to drug running, to the Bologna bombing, to the murder of Lewin, to Frieda Posch, and so forth, has been difficult because these primary witnesses have all been killed. And that's similar to the investigation of the murder of John Kennedy or Robert Kennedy or Martin Luther King. They said that Walter Kexel, one of their main witnesses, committed suicide in Lebanon while in custody of the police, and he was wanted for bomb attacks and armed robbery. So Karl-Heinz Hoffmann is on trial in Germany, and the overt man who funds him is Gerhard Frey. And as I say, next week I'm going to continue on the links of Gerhard Frey to General Walker, because these people are not a isolated case just in the country of Germany or in Italy with violence, but they link to our CIA, to drug enforcement, to Henry Kissinger, and the CIC, the investigative group intelligence after the war. It is a network that spreads around the globe and could even encompass people like the Rajneesh that came from Pune in India with his nefarious, questionable background, because he has all the making and markings of a fascist state. He even calls it a fascist state that Sheila put up, but he's been the man behind it, and he knows where the banks are in Germany and Switzerland. So I'm working on that case, and I'm going to do next week with you part two of this subject and bring it into Dallas, Texas, and into the United States, and to General Walker, and the connections to our intelligence community. Can't do all that in 1 hour, but I'll share that with you next week. The trial of Karl Heinz Hoffmann, and not a word of it in this country, and his connections to people that have worked with the American agencies. This is Mae Brussel, and thanks again for all the articles. You keep sending them. I appreciate them. I'll write soon, and thank you, and take care, and we'll be back to continue this. This will be part two next week.